with the mask recommendations is, I can't see your smiling faces. Randall likes to laugh, though. So, but it is an opportunity. And Steve asked me when he was fixing the tape, he said, what's the name of your lesson? What's the title of your lesson? And I just went blank. I know I'm going to talk about encouragement this morning, but I knew that wasn't the title of the lesson. The title of my lesson is Enduring Hardships. So? Okay. I saw a red light in there. I didn't see a green light. So, enduring hardships. Somebody says, how were you able to do that? Daryl called me at 10 minutes after 7 last night. Said, can you bring a lesson? He said, I called Robert first, but he didn't answer his phone. So Robert dodged, and then Robert called me later, and we talked about it. And I thank Robert for offering. He has probably 10 times more lessons ready to go than I do. But I still look at it as opportunity. So Enduring Hardships was the title. And when you stop and think about it, I had over 15 hours to prepare this lesson. So was it a hardship at 7 o'clock last night? I don't think I jumped up and ran and started searching. I knew I had a lesson. I told Daryl I'd probably bring one on Titus. Well, after searching through and looking at some of my past lessons, I found one that I felt was more suitable this morning. A verse we often quote and go to is Paul's advice to the young preacher Timothy. In his second letter to Timothy, in chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If I was Timothy reading that for the first time, I would think, well, let's go back to verse 15. Verse 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known. Paul knew that Timothy had received instructions from his mother and grandmother from a child from a very early age. And in verse 15 it says, the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So if you're trying to classify sermons, you might say this is a doctrinal sermon. Doctrinal in the sense of for teachings or basic principles. You might say it's a sermon about reproof, as Paul told Timothy. Reproof would be to reprimand or to rebuke someone for what they're doing. We see in the New Testament oftentimes Paul sent these letters to the various churches telling them what they were doing wrong. When we go to Revelations and we see the seven churches of Asia, Jesus told them what they were doing wrong. Reproof. Or for correction. If I need to make a correction in my life, to change it or to make it right. A fourth topic in the 16th verse was for instruction in righteousness, where we can see examples or we get directions. Does all that sound familiar? When we study or we hear 2 Timothy 3:15-16. All four of these items can provide what verse 15 says. Make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And the reason we see in 17, that the man of God may be complete. That's not exclusive to men. That means mankind the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Faith in Christ Jesus is the key to it all. But if we have that faith that the Hebrew writer defined in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 1, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's what our faith is, the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction, the belief, in things not seen. Verse 6 says, without that faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is, God is, a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Along with that diligence, we sometimes need encouragement. That would be a fifth reason for a lesson. Enduring hardships, we need encouragement to encourage us to do better than we did today. Encourage us to do better today than we did yesterday. The company I retired from used to call it continuous improvement. They wanted you to do better, do your job better today than you did it yesterday. Continuous improvement. As a Christian, that's what we do. We may fail in some things today. Given the opportunity, we improve and continue to do better tomorrow. Okay? Continuous improvement. We have to work each day to do better. Why? Well, we're not perfect. We are not without sin. Paul told the Romans in 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Jesus told Peter, right before he denied him three times, in Luke 22 and 31, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou hast turned again, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus told Peter, you're going to fail because Satan is after you. Satan attacks the weak link. Peter was a weak link at that point. He was still learning. He was still going through continuous improvement. Once we improve, Jesus told Peter, then you're going to strengthen those around you. That's what we need to do. When we continue to improve and do better, and we see someone struggling, enduring hardships, maybe we can strengthen them. We're enduring a lot of difficulties these days, not unlike what we probably have in the past. It's just a challenge a lot of times, what we say. This restrictions that we're going through are just challenges. Jesus offered encouragement to Peter because he knew Peter would be trying to endure hardships, more hardships, in the near future. A little encouragement to do hardship and to endure hardships can sometimes be all we need to come out on top. A hardship can sometimes become an opportunity. I could have just told Daryl, are you kidding me? I need 2 weeks. I could have told Daryl, forget that. We have a chance to rise to the occasion, to be encouragement for others. When I started working for a construction company in the middle 70s, I started out as an equipment operator. And I continued to learn. I had to learn from the ground first. I was a crane operator, and I had to learn how to rig or attach rigging to a load to be picked up by the crane. So that's where I started. You might say I started from the ground up. I learned how to rig a load. And I went through an apprenticeship program, not a formal program, but I went through a learning process. And as I started out on the smaller cranes, then my boss, my supervisor, would come to me and there would be an opportunity. I need you to go run a bigger crane. If I started out on a 15-ton, he would say, can you run that 25? From the 25, you'd go to a 50. From the 50, you might go to a 100-ton. And thus, you would increase. Well, every time he would ask me, can you do this, it was an opportunity. It was not a hardship. Yes, it was more responsibility. Yes, it was something new. But it was an opportunity. And that's how I progressed through the company. I worked there for over 14 years. And I learned, and when I left, I was running some of the biggest cranes that they had. I got an opportunity with a refinery to go work there. I didn't start out as a crane operator, but after spending 30 years there, I was in charge of supervising cranes and big lifts and things. So I had the opportunity, not a hardship, I had an opportunity to better myself, to continue to improve. Did I make mistakes? You bet. I made plenty of mistakes. Did I ever turn a crane over? No, I didn't turn one over. Did I tear the boom out of one? Yes, I did. But no one, thankfully, ever got hurt from my mistakes, and I learned. I learned you don't do that. I watched my father-in-law. I didn't get to see it, and my wife would probably fuss at me for this, but he come in the house with his thumb in a handkerchief, and he was a carpenter. He was a craftsman, and he come in, and they wanted to sew that thumb back on, and I think he told his wife it had already been cut off 3 times, and he wasn't going to sew it back on again. So anyway, he learned that, I would like to think he learned, you don't put your thumb there when you're running through a table saw. I was helping my wife yesterday. She was wanting to do a project, and I told her, you do not put your hand over the blade of the table saw while it's running. I could just see her cutting a finger off. Anyway, so encouragement. We need encouragement. We don't know what each opportunity will present us. We know that Paul suffered from a thorn in the flesh, and he couldn't get rid of it. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. We know Paul prayed to God to remove it on several occasions, but God left it there. We don't know what the problem was, but Paul knew that it would help him to remain humble. Whenever we get too big for our britches, is the old saying, we find a way to be brought down, to be humbled. Humbleness is a hard trait to come by. When we have great responsibilities placed on our shoulders and then we're successful. As a young crane operator, I progressed at a good rate, and oftentimes I was questioned about being too young for that responsibility. And all I would do is just do my best and keep going. Some hardships can be short-term and only last a little while, or they can be long-term so that we have to contend with them indefinitely. Think about not having a regular preacher, or whenever the preacher is gone or sick. It could be a temporary hardship for a congregation, but it can create an opportunity for several to bring lessons and grow in the knowledge of Christ. If you don't believe that you will grow then take the time to sit down and write a lesson up. Even if you never stand before or share that lesson with somebody, I promise you, you will learn Amen. From putting it together. You see, enduring hardships and putting forth effort will help you to come out on top. Now's the time for the story. The story is about a farmer and his old mule. The farmer couldn't find his mule. He was looking everywhere for that mule. He looked high and low. Finally, he could hear a ruckus, and it sounded like that mule braying. And he started following that sound, and he came to an old well on his farm that had been abandoned. And he walks up to that well, and he looks down in there, and there stands the mule. Somehow that mule had fallen down in that well. And that farmer's trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to get that mule out of that hole? And that farmer thinks, well, if I jump down in there and tie a rope on him to help try and pull him out, he might stomp me and we'll both end up dying in that well. You know, I just don't see a way to get that mule out of that well. And he dies, he's going to stink. It's going to be bad. Maybe I'll just start covering him up right now. So he starts shoveling dirt down in on top of that mule to cover him up and bury him. What do you think the mule did when that dirt hit his back? He shook it off. I'm sure already the wheels are turning. That farmer kept shoveling that dirt in there. That mule kept shaking it off and stomping on it. And he kept shoveling. The mule kept shaking. When he got to a point, that mule was standing there looking him in the eyes. He'd done filled that well up. The mule had come up. He got out. That mule did not let the hardship of that well get him down. Every time the hardship of that dirt fell on his back, he shook it off. Had that mule stood there at the bottom of that well and let the dirt pile up around him, that would have been his grave. We know there's several examples all throughout the Bible. When we think about Joseph and his brothers put him in a well, look how that hardship came out. His brothers hated him and mistreated him, and he was his father's favorite son. They were so jealous that they conspired to kill him, and if Reuben hadn't spoken up, they would have. So that they had gotten rid of him, they thought they got rid of him when they sold him into slavery. But God was in control, and it was his plan all along for Joseph and his family. Remember, Joseph prospered with Pharaoh, and that when the famine came across the land, he was in the best position to keep his family from starving to death. Job, classic Job. What about his hardships? He was a rich man. He had everything going his way. Through no fault of his own, Satan took everything from him. His family, his riches, and then his health. His wife and his friends, they offered no encouragements. Instead, they told him, Job, curse God and die. You don't stand a chance. But Job was noted for his patience, his endurance in the face of hardships. And God rewarded him. He received back everything he had, plus more. How many of us could have endured those hardships? Another one, let's look at Acts, the 16th chapter, if you have your Bibles handy and want to turn to that. If not, I'm reading from the King James Version. Acts, the 16th chapter. And I'll begin in verse 19. This is where we see Paul and Silas, there was this young girl in Philippi. And she was possessed by a spirit that allowed her to do fortune telling. Her masters used her for profit. She began to follow Paul and Silas around for several days and proclaimed that they were servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation. Well, after many days, the scriptures say that Paul was grieved from listening to her. So he commanded the demon to come out. And in verse 19, "And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone," she no longer had that ability, "they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes." So first they've been grabbed. Now they've had their clothes torn off of them, and commanded to beat them. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison." That doesn't mean just inside the doors. That means down in the bottom, the lowest part of the prison, where the sun doesn't shine, "and made their feet fast in stocks." Ripped clothes, beaten, thrown down deep in the jail, and then put in chains and stocks. Pretty bad scenario. We can read of more hardships in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28, where Paul goes through a long list of all the beatings, the shipwrecks, and everything that he endured. And then at the end, he said, plus the daily concerns of the church. So why did Paul and others that we read about endure these hardships? Why did they do it? Well, consider what Peter said in his first letter. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." Robert gave a great explanation for the sufferings of Christ on the cross. "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins," Christians, "should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Christ suffered all those things on our behalf. Jesus left heaven as the Son of God to walk on this earth as the Son of Man. He left the right hand of God to hang on the cross between two thieves. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan to show that man could resist sin. Jesus was rejected by God's chosen people so he could be the Savior of all men. Jesus was tried, convicted, and crucified without just cause, so we could have hope of eternal life in heaven with him. Paul said in conclusion, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, exhort one another," encourage one another, "and build each other up, even as ye also do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, hardships and comforts, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My hope is that you have been encouraged by this lesson. If you have not been baptized into Christ and have received those blessings from following Christ, we have that opportunity. The baptistry is ready. Or if you are a Christian that has problems, enduring hardships, and need the prayers of the congregation, we'll give you that opportunity to respond to the invitation as we stand and sing.